Before I get started, I was thinking about the sermon, because I've been thinking about the sermon all week, and this theme just like stays in my mind, the nerve of some people. And I know you feel like that sometimes, right? Just like you can't even believe that they do the things that they do. So today's sermon is going to make you think, the nerve of some people. So I want to greet everybody and say good morning to the church, and I always let the church know how good you look. Just in case nobody else lets you know how good you look when you're sitting in church, I have a snapshot, and you look good because it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, God is there. And if God is there, and if God is beautiful, and God is love, you all have to be looking beautiful. So you all are looking good this morning, okay? So let me give honor to God, the Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who dwells among us. I want to thank Pastor Kai and acknowledge him for the example he sets by character. He would write a book called Character, because he does some things as a pastor that I just say, oh my goodness, the worldliness would just kind of creep in on me, and I just don't know if I could do that, you know. So I thank him for the character he sets, a commitment to his family, and by his educational excellence, you know, set an example for the young people. You should be a lifetime learner. And also by his authorship, because that makes me want to tell my story. I don't know if I write a book, but I want to tell my story. I also want to acknowledge the elders of the church, Will, for guiding us in worship, which we always enjoy. And for all of you all who are co-laborers in the gospel and the ministry of this body, I thank you all. And to this church family, I want to thank you for your prayers, for your presence and your perseverance. And if we have any guests today, I want them to know that you are in the right place at the right time. So there is a word from the Lord today, and Andrew read it so eloquently from Luke 16, chapter 19 through 31. And it's a very simple gospel lesson, but one that draws this real sharp contrast. Today's lesson, if you have any question at all about your faith or about the faith, I think today's lesson really answers the real question about our faith. It answers the question about heaven and hell. What is heaven and hell? How do you get there? What is it like when you get there? So this lesson is gonna reveal all of that. So the first thing that we have is we have this rich man. And the rich man fared sumptuously, or he had a lot. He ate all that he could eat, okay? And he did that every day. He did not lack food, okay? And he did not eat fast food. The food was prepared for him, okay? He had it all. He had wealth. He had comfort. He had status. Now, let me be clear about something. God does not have a problem with wealth. He doesn't have a problem with rich people. So I want to get that out the way right now, because some people think all rich people are going to hell because they're rich, and that could be further from the word of God, what it says. God says in Jeremiah 29th and 11th chapter, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, and those plans are for you to prosper and also for you to have hope and for you to have faith. So God wouldn't have said that if he would have had a problem with you accumulating wealth. Then in James 1 and 7, we are reminded that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, who is God. So if some wealth has dropped in your lap or you worked hard to earn it, you deserve it. And God honors that, okay? So God doesn't oppose wealth, and don't ever let anybody tell you that God opposes wealth. And if somebody tries to preach to you that you should be poor or God opposes wealth, I'm gonna tell you to walk away from him, okay? Because that's not what the word of God says. But what God does oppose, God opposes when wealth becomes our God. When we focus more on the gift than we focus on the gift giver. When we chase after money more than we chase after righteousness. When we work two or three jobs, not because we have to, but because we just want more and more and more. And so Jesus does warn us about money. And what he says about it, Pastor said it last week, he said, you cannot serve two masters. It says you're going to love one or hate the other, all right? And I mean, I think that's a perfect scripture because it's either or. It's no alternative. You serve two men, you're either going to serve money or you're going to serve God. If you serve money, you're not going to have time to serve God, okay? So Jesus also warns us in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and money. And in Joshua 24:15, the charge comes to you and it says, so choose you this day who you will serve. Make your mind up who you're going to serve. You're going to serve money. You're going to serve God. You're going to be in the world. You're going to be here. Because a pastor told me when I very first got saved, the pastor told me, he said, Brother Brian, he said, don't you go to hell in a Volkswagen when you can go in a Cadillac. In other words, don't live in one world and in the next world, because you either all the way for God or none of the way for God. There is no in between, all right? So don't play sin over here and play saint over here. Just go here sin and live it up and go to hell in a nice fine car with rich, like the man in the story today, all right? So here's the parable. It says a rich man lives in luxury. He eats every day. Then there's this poor man who lies at the gate. But the man is just not just poor, okay? It says the man's name is Lazarus, and it says he's covered with sores, okay? And it says that the rich man never sees him. The rich man kind of never helps him out. He never acknowledges him. And then something happens that's going to happen to everybody who experiences this human experience. They both died. That's why God said, choose ye this day. Because you might not have another day or another minute. So God said, go ahead and make your mind up, because you don't know when I'm going to call you, all right? So what happens, you got a rich man sitting there with food that he could share, doesn't acknowledge the poor man, and you got a poor man who's doing all he can do, he's begging, and then they die. When they die, Lazarus, the poor man, he is carried into paradise. So carried suggests that angels carry him up in paradise, right? But the rich man, he just wakes up, just like you wake up out of a bad dream and you glad that it's not real. He just wakes up, but when he wakes up in torment. Now here's the question. What determines their eternal destination? It couldn't be the wealth of the rich man. It couldn't be his bank accounts. It wasn't his bank accounts. But what it was, what determined their eternal destination was their spiritual bank accounts in heaven. So I want to get right to point number one. God wants us to do an assessment of our character. He wants you to do a self-check on yourself, because we all have a spiritual bank account. And it doesn't say PNC, Wells Fargo, Truist. None of those things are on it. It's an account from heaven. And you need that account because the scripture says in Matthew 6:20, it says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So my question is, if I'm laying them up, where am I laying them at in heaven? Am I putting them in storage? I'm putting them in a spiritual bank account. What are you depositing in your spiritual bank account? You're depositing compassion, empathy, sympathy, generation, service, love, generosity. Are you storing those things up? That's the question. Or are you hoarding wealth and ignoring those in need? So I want to give you a definition today of spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty is when you can't see the needs of others because you're too focused on yourself. That's spiritual poverty. You see, the rich man was unable to not only see that the guy wanted some food, and he didn't ask for a sandwich. You know, he didn't say, like, just give me some greens off your table. He just asked for, like, the crumbs. That's all he asked for. But he also couldn't see that the man was sick, because the man had sores all over. And I don't know who in here is from the medical profession, but if you have sores all over, something is kind of wrong with you, all right? He couldn't hear the man's stomach growling for the food. And sad to say, he couldn't see the dogs were providing medication because the man didn't have a prescription plan. He had no medical doctor to go to. He brought all of his needs to the rich man. And I think that he brought all his needs to the rich man, Pastor, because he knew a scripture that said, to whom much is given, much is required. So he said, I'm not going to go to somebody else that's broke like me. I'm going to go to somebody like Ron. I'm going to somebody who got something. I'm going to somebody who looked like they eating every day, right? So he goes to the rich man, and the rich man just totally disses him, never recognizes or sees his need. Karen, That is spiritual poverty. Because spiritual poverty is when a church doesn't have a food pantry. Spiritual poverty is when a church doesn't have a men and women's ministry. When it doesn't have a children's ministry. When it doesn't have a ministry to help boys learn how to turn to men. Spiritual poverty is when we think we don't have anything to give and we miss out on giving the most important thing that we have, which is our testimony. That's spiritual poverty. So God is calling us today and he's saying, don't let the affairs of this world distract you from seeing him. Don't let the affairs of this world distract you of walking with him. And don't let the affairs of this world distract you from talking to him. Don't let the affairs of this world stop you from working for him, because they're all nothing but distractions. And he's saying, make a deposit in your spiritual bank account. You don't even have to have, what you give in your spiritual bank account is what God's giving you. If he's giving you grace, you give grace to somebody else, cha-ching, and it's in your spiritual bank account. So that's what God wants us to do. And he's calling us today, calling us here to do this. Point two, I want this scripture to assure you of your destiny. Now listen carefully, please. The rich man had everything here on earth, everything. He didn't sit up and worry about paying debtors. He had everything that he needed, but he died. And when he died, for the first time in his life, he experienced bankruptcy. He had nothing. When he had nothing, he went from everything to nothing. He was bankrupt when it came to heaven or hell. So the only place for bankrupt spiritual people to go is to hell, because they haven't stored anything up in heaven. And so what did he do? The nerve of him. He asked for relief. And who did he ask for relief from? The poor man that he couldn't even give his, the nerve of him. He asked the poor man to do something for him. He didn't do anything for the poor man. And he asked the poor man, and the poor man is in heaven, and he's with Abraham, because Psalms 23 said, I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Those people who talk about you on the job, those people who pick on you because of your belief, those people that mess around and spread gossip about your name, God said, don't worry, you're going to see them again. And in the middle, it's going to be a gulf that they can't cross. And I'm going to have this beautiful table laid out for you to welcome you to heaven, and I'm preparing it for you. But on the other side, looking at that table, there are your enemies. And now that the rich man is dead. He was living. He was rich. He had everything. He could do anything he wanted to do. But now that he's dead, he wants to become a Christian. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He not only wanted to become a Christian, he started to bargain with God. See, because some rich people focus on money, they think there's a price for everything. And God said, ain't no price for this, brother. You had your chance on the other side. This is it. This is it. It's over. And he said, let me go back and tell my family so that my family won't come to this place. The nerve of him, Dan. Now he wants to be an evangelist. When he was on earth, he could afford to buy tracts. He could go to a church. He could support a ministry. He could do all that with his wealth. But he waits until he's dead, because he missed the scripture that said, choose ye this day. And this day caught up with him. So much so, he lowered himself to ask a man that he didn't do anything for after he was dead. But God said, uh-uh. He said, no. See, because once this life is over, there's no turning back. And I also want to take and put a little, Aaliyah, I want to put a footnote there, put a little bookmark right there, because there are some people that believe that between earth and heaven and hell, there's this middle place that you go, and you can get it right then. But I don't see the Bible teaching that. And if somebody can show me where that's in the Bible, I'll just sit down from preaching right now, because I know it's not in it. There is no middle ground. Jesus said no, because once this life is over, there's no turning back. This is why you have to choose this day. Hell is not a myth. It's not a man-made story. It's not a good motion picture. It is not a metaphor, assembly, or personification. It's not poetic. It's not artistic. It's not something that was conjured up in the mind of those who are very creative. Hell is real. And Jesus, because he's a friend, we sing that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that song? We say, what a friend. All I give. Because he's a friend. A friend tell you what you need to hear, okay? If the dress is ugly, a friend say, it sure is ugly, okay? If your hair's a mess and you need a haircut, your friend say, your hair looks crank. You need to go get it right. Jesus is that kind of friend, and I love that kind of friend. I love that kind of friend. And so Jesus tells us what we need to know. So my point number three, Jesus acknowledges your name and your identification. And y'all, excuse me, y'all know I get choked up when I think about God knowing my name. And here's something that's powerful. In this entire script, I kept on reading it because I was looking for, like, what's the rich man's name? Like, I wanted, what's his name? And I'm looking in references and stuff. Like, I can't find, I even started to call you and say, do you know the rich man's name? But I didn't call him up. In the entire parable, the rich man is never named. But what God does, he identifies him. Your identity is locked into what you love. Because your identity is what you love. It's who you are. So in the scripture, Jesus identifies this man with wealth because that's what he loved. And he called him the rich man. On the other hand, he calls Lazarus by name, and he calls him to a place that you can only get to by identity. You cannot buy your way to heaven. You cannot pray your way into heaven. You can't pastor your way into heaven. You can't elder your way into heaven. You can't ministry your way into heaven. But in order to get there, God has got to identify with you. See, there's a difference. When the police stop you on the street and you speeding, they don't say, what's your name? They say, show me your identification. Because they want to identify that you are really the person who should be driving the car. They're going to check you out. They're going to do all that. Your identity is different than your name, even though your name is a part of your identity. Your identity for God is your character. And God not only knows you by name, but God knows you by identity. So when you think of identity, I want you to think of this. Your identification, I don't care if you're rich sitting here, I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you just lost your job, or whether you got a new one, you may be depressed, you may be sick, you may be going through something in your life, but I want you to know that your identification is not made by your location, by your situation, or somebody else's interpretation. Even if the interpretation is negation, because your identification is in your creation, okay? Not your location, not your situation, and not anybody else's interpretation. And once you claim a relation with the source of your creation, who is God, there's no situation and no location and no interpretation that can place a limitation on your elevation or your destination or the proliferation of blessings that God has for you. That's your identification. I identify with a Redeemer. That's all I identify with. I've tried identifying by other things, but they didn't mean anything to God. Okay? A good worker, that doesn't mean anything to God. It's my character. It's who I am. It's who God sees me as. It's the things he's provided for me and how I outreach and give those things out. God knows my character. He knows who I am when I'm by myself. That's your identification, not when you're sitting here with us dressed and clothed and looking good and thinking church and saying hallelujah. God knows your identity when you by yourself. He knows you in private. He knows it. And once God says that you're okay with him and he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, all of the angels bust out and start making so much noise. I just can imagine feathers flying everywhere from the angels' clap as if they have hands, okay? So God knows your name, all right? Lazarus, though poor, he had a very rich spirit. He had compassion, he had love, and I'm sure when the rich man said, can you just dip your finger in some water and give it to me? Lazarus was looking for a glass of water. And God said, no, you're here with me now. You get to be served. I made you for me. And the rich man, to this day, remains who he is. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you today to make your deposit. And I want to ask you a question. Not my business, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What's in your wallet? What's in your spiritual bank account? Are you storing treasures in heaven? Are you living for eternity or just for today? God wants you all. He wants you all to be the lenders. He does not want you to be the borrower. Okay? God wants you to be the head. That's why he called you. Everybody here, y'all not here because it's not, I can give you some things to do. Matter of fact, I can give you some money and some tickets to go somewhere else to be. Other than just being right here, there are other places you could go. But on your own will, you decided to come here. And I say it every time I preach, I hate to sound like a broken record. Everybody came to the door, Will. Nobody knocked. They didn't even ring the bell. They just walked in. And the reason that you walked in, because you said, this is my father's house. And my children do not knock to come in my house. Matter of fact, one of them sneaks up on me and scares me. All right? So you don't need to knock to come in your parents' house. You come in, no matter how old you are, because it's home. And that's why you're here today. So God is saying today, store up something in heaven. He wants you to be in charge. He wants you to be the spiritual leader because God wants your heart. So starting today, if you haven't already done it, let's start living with purpose. Let's start living like we know who our Father is. Do you all have one of these? You seen it before? Y'all have one? Where is it? Can you hold it? Yeah, let me see. Okay, keep that out, right? Now, I know you say that this is, what's the angel? What is it? The Bible. Okay, the Bible. But this book right here is the most valuable book, and here's why. Because on the other side, in eternity, everything that God has stored up for you, your bank statement for your spiritual bank account, is right here. Oh, ooh, and when you read it, you will feel so, oh my God, my father has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And Chris, I think like one cattle cost $5,000 or $10,000. He made the stars, the moon. My father is rich in houses and land. That's your father. And everything he promises you, everything, all this is in your spiritual bank account already. As soon as you said, I love you, Lord, I believe you, I want to fight, boom, he put it in there. He said, deposit this to them because everything in it, they're entitled to it. Isn't that beautiful? That's your bank statement this morning. That is your bank statement this morning. Amen. So let's live with purpose. Amen. Let's serve with compassion, not judgment. Let's serve with compassion and let us give with joy. And not only let us give with joy, let us give out of our wealth and let us give out of our poverty. Even if you don't have much, give anyway. And then finally, let us walk with Jesus. If you walk with Jesus, he'll walk with you. If you talk to Jesus, he'll talk right back to you in no time. You don't need a medium, you don't need a psychic, none of that stuff. He will talk directly to you. If you work for Jesus, you'll find him in the background working for you. And love Jesus because he loved you first. Because when this life is over, only what we deposited in our spiritual bank accounts will last. May the Lord bless you, keep you, watch over you, and keep you with a nice fat bank account over on the other side, and may you prosper through him and in him, and never forget those who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.